Mesechtes Baba Kama, Dap Pei Hei, 11 lines from the bottom of Dap Pei Dalam Abayz, and the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Dap Pei Gimel Abayz, which discussed the five Dvarim, Nezek Tsar, Ripui Shevis, and Baishis, and then the Mishnah stated, Tsar, what is the case of Tsar, where a person would be chayiv to pay for someone's pain? And the Mishnah gave two examples, Kavoy Bashpud, if Reuven burns Shimon with a spit, Oiba Masmar, or he hits him with a nail, and the Mishnah continued, Bal Filat Zaparnai, and even if it was only on his nail, Makim Shein Oisa Chabura, in a place where it doesn't make an actual chabura and it doesn't diminish his value. And the Mishnah explains that the way to evaluate a person's tsar and a person's pain is Oindim Kama Adam Kazer, Reitzalito, Lias Mitzarakach. And our Mishnah therefore taught us that there is no chilip between a case where Reuven damaged Shimon and diminished his value and also caused tsar to Shimon. And certainly in that case, you have to pay for the tsar that Shimon incurred. And the Mishnah also taught us that even if the hezek was done to Shimon's fingernail where there was only tsar and there was no diminution in Shimon's value, that Reuven is also chayiv to still pay for the tzar that caused Shimon. And our Gemara now begins, tzar shalai b'merg nezik mishtalim man tana, that who is the tana that holds that Reuven is chayiv to pay for the tzar that Shimon incurs, even in a scenario where there was no diminution in value of Shimon, and therefore there was no chayiv for Reuven to pay for nezik. And our Gemara continues, Amar Rava, that Rava states, ben azahi, that this is specifically the shita ben azai, and as we will see, there's a machlekes between ben azai and Rebbe, and therefore our Mishnah is specifically going like ben azai, and not like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Gemara will now bring down the machlekes between Rabbi and Ben Azai, and we will read the first part of Braisa, and then we will explain the Gemara outside, and then finally read the Gemara inside. As the Tanya we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Omer Kfiya Nemretchila, and Ben Azai Omer Chabur Nemretchila. And as we know, the pasuk in Pashas Mishpatim states Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, Petza Tachas Patza, Chabur Tachas Chabura. And Rashi in Pashas Mishpatim defines Kfiya as Makas Eish, and Rashi defines the word Chabura as He Makas Adam Nitzurba. And chabur refers to a wound that doesn't break the person's skin and therefore the blood doesn't escape his body and the blood gathers beneath the nizik skin, which is what we would call a black and blue mark. And let's keep in mind that it's impossible that Rebbe and Ben Azai are being chaylik as to which word is stated first in the Torah, and Rebbe saying that it says kfiya first and Ben Azai says that it says chabur first, as certainly the pasuk says kfiya tachas kfiya first, and only at the end of the pasuk does the pasuk state chabur tachas chabura. Therefore Rebbe explains, but Micah Mifli, what is the basis of the machlikas between Rebbe and Ben Azai? And he explains, Rebbe Sava Kfiya de Lespa Chabura Mashma, and therefore Kasra Chmana Chabura, Leglui Le de Kfiya, the Ispa Chabura in Eloi Loi. Rebbe explains that Rebbe holds that if the Torah would have just stated Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, then we would have thought that the Torah is even Machai Ruvain for burning Shimon, and even though there was only Tsar and no diminution in value, what we would call actual Hezek, and therefore the Torah had to add in and state Chabura Tachas Chabura, to teach us that the only way one can be chayiv for burning someone and causing them tsar is only if it's similar to a chabura, when it was also actual hezek and it was also tsar. And since you are required to pay for hezek and ripui, so we are also mechayiv you for the tsar that you caused Shimon as well. However, as Rashi states, avot tsar sheloi bebakim chabura kegoin al tziperin pato de tsar bloi nezek loi mishalim. And lefi Rebbe, in reality, now that the Torah states chabura tachas chabura, the actual translation of kfiya lefi the maskana of the Gemara is a burn that caused tsar and also caused an actual hezek, and this shita is certainly not compatible with our Mishnah, as our Mishnah stated that you'll be chayiv to pay for tsar even if a person burns someone's fingernail and even though there was no diminution in value. And keep in mind that lefi zeh, when Rebbe stated kfiya nemretchila, it means that originally we would have thought the chayiv of kfiya tachas kfiya is even if someone burned someone else and there was no diminution in value and there was only tsar and no nezek. Therefore, the words of Rebbe were really stated only lefi the havmina and not lefi the maskana. And Rava continues, Ben Azai Sava Kfiya de Ispa Chabura Mashma, and Kasrachman Chabura Leglui La de Kfiya de Lespa Chabura. And Rava continues and explains that Ben Azai holds the opposite, that initially, if the Torah only stated Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, we would define that as a burn that caused Tsar and also caused an actual Hezek, which he calls a Chabura. That is what Ben Azai meant when he said, Chabura Nemretchila, that when the Torah says Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, it's referring to a Chabura when it was Tsar and also actual Hezek. However, Ben Azai states that now that the Torah also stated chabura tachas chabura, so it must be the Torah is being mechadish to us. Not only is Reuven responsible to pay for tsar, where there is also an actual hezek, but even if he would only burn Shimon on his fingernail and there is only tsar and no hezek, that Reuven would still be chayiv to pay for the tsar he caused Shimon. And lefi ben Azai lemaskana, once the Torah stated chabura tachas chabura, so we actually define kfiya as a burn that only caused tsar and did not cause any hezek. And our Mishnah fits in according to the shita of Ben Azai. And the Gemara continues, maskul la rapapa, the rapapa will be bothered by Rav's pshat. pshat, and Rav Papa states that Adrabba Ipchum Mistavra, and Rav Papa will actually be bothered with 2 points. Number one, Lefi Rava, we are explaining that our Mishnah is Dafka Lefi Ben Azai, and not like Rabbi Huda Nasi, and since Rebbe authored the Mishnayis, so it would be much more Mistavra to say that our Mishnah should fit in according to the Shita of Rebbe, and number two, according to Rava, when Rebbe and Ben Azai define the term Kfiya, they're defining it according to the Havmina prior to the Torah stating Chabura Tachas Chabura, and not Lefi Maskana, and that isn't generally a Derech of a Braisa, and therefore a Papa will learn exactly the opposite. He will have two different ways to understand the Machlekes of Rebbe and Ben Azai, and according to both of his Pshatim, it would come out that our Mishnah's Dafka going according to Rebbe and not according to Ben Azai, because Rav Papa was bothered with these questions on Rav's Pshat, therefore Rav Papa explains the Machlekes between Rebbe and Ben Azai in two different manners. Number one, he states, Rebbe Oimek Kfiya Nemar Tchila, that when Rebbe stated that Kfiya was stated first, Sava Kfiya De Ispa Chabura Mashma, he actually holds that originally, if the Torah would only say Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, we would think that it means a burn that also created a Chabura. The only time that Mazik is Chayiv to pay for Tsar is only if he caused a person Tsar, at the same time that he caused a diminution of the person's value and he's Chayiv for Nezek and Kosrachmana Chabura, and then the Torah states Chabura Tachas Chabura. And certainly the case of Chabura Tachas Chabura is where someone damages someone and there was a diminution in value and also Tsar, and therefore we see that the Torah is Mechayiv a person when they cause Tsar to someone, B'makim Chabura. Therefore it's L'gluya L'adikfiya L'espa Chabura. And now it teaches us that when the Torah stated Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, we're talking about a burn where there was no diminution in value and there was no hezek. Therefore, we see that Torah is actually mechayiv a person for paying tsar that he caused to Shimon, even in a case where he didn't cause any hezek to Shimon and there was no diminution in value. And therefore, our Mishnah is actually going according to the Shita of Rebbe, and that's why our Mishnah stated that if you burn a person's fingernail, even though there was no diminution in value, you'd still be chayiv to pay for tsar. And when the Braisa stated Rebbe Oimek Kfiya Nemar Tchila, the Braisa means that Lefi Maskana, when the Torah states Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, it's referring to a person that only burnt someone and did not cause them any loss in value. Rebbe's actually defined the word Kfiya according to Maskana Sagamara. And our Papa continued, Ben Azai Oimer, that Ben Azai states exactly the opposite from Rebbe, and our Mishnah actually will not be going like the Shita of Ben Azai, as Ben Azai holds Chabur Nemar Tchila, the Maskana Sagamara, when the Torah states Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, is actually referring to a case where a person caused damage to someone and he caused a diminution in value, and he also caused him tsar. If Reuven only caused tsar to Shimon and he did not actually cause him any hezek and any damage, then Reuven would not be chayiv to pay for tsar, and our Mishnah cannot work out Lefi Ben Azai, as we explained. The way that Ben Azai gets to the Maskanas HaGemara is as follows. Sovo Kfiya D'lespa Chabura Mashma, that if the Torah would only state Kfiya Tachas Kfiya, then we would think that the Torah is mechayiv a person for paying tsar, even Shaloi B'Mokim Nezek, and even where there was no diminution in value. Therefore, Kos Rachmana Chabura, the Torah also states Chabura Tachas Chabura. That is surely talking about a scenario where a person caused an actual chabura to his friend and he also caused him tsar, and therefore we see that Torah is only mechayiv a person for causing a chabura, not only cause hezek but also cause tsar, and therefore it's gluya le'ed kfiya. The reason why the Torah states it is in order to reveal to us that when Torah states kfiya, the ispa chabura in iloy loy, that the only time you're going to be chayiv for burning someone is only if it also caused the damage to a person and diminution of their value, and then you're going to be chayiv to pay tsar. However, if you only cause tsar to a person without causing any hezek, you would not be chayiv to pay for that tsar. Therefore, as we stated, our Mishnah cannot be going Lefi Shitas Ben Azai, and it's going like Shitas Rebbe. And number two, V'amaskona Kaima, when the Brice has stated Rebbe Eime Kfiya Nemar Tchila and Ben Azai Eime Chabura Nemar Tchila, Brice is actually defining the word Kfiya according to Rebbe and according to Ben Azai Lefi Maskona Sasugya, and therefore, of course, it makes a lot more sense that both Rebbe and Ben Azai would be discussing the actual definition of Kfiya according to their own Shitas. And the Gemara will now continue Inami, that the Gemara will bring another way to understand the Machlekes between Rebbe and Ben Azai. Even according to this way that the Gemara will learn the Machlekes between Rebbe and Ben Azai, it'll come out that our Mishnah is specifically going like Rebbe and not like Ben Azai. The only difference between the first Lashon of the Gemara and the second Lashon of the Gemara as to how to understand the Svaras and Machlekes between Rebbe and Ben Azai, and as the Gemara states, the Kuli Alma Kfiya Ben Ispa Chabura Ben Lespa Chabura Mashba, that all agree that when the Torah states Lashon Kfiya, then certainly originally we would think that it doesn't make a difference if Reuven burns Shimon and he causes him hezek and he also causes him tsar, that he's going to be chayiv to pay for his tsar. And even in a case where he causes him tsar and he doesn't cause him any damage and no diminution in value, he will still be chayiv to pay for tsar. And therefore, initially, our Mishnah could really be going like the Tanakama or like Ben Azai. However, the Gemara will define that the words kfiya tachas kfiya is looked at as a klal, and the words chabura tachas chabura, that the Torah states states at the end of the pasuk is defined as a prat, and therefore, in general, we would say klalu prat im b'chlal elamashu prat. And since chabura refers only to a case where a person actually damaged someone and caused him diminution in value, and there was also tsar, therefore, if it would be a standard klalu prat, then we would say that when Torah states kviya tachas kviya, it is only talking about a case where there was also chabura and there was also actual diminution in value together with the tsar. And if so, neither Rebbe or Ben Azai would be able to hold like our Mishnah, and would be able to hold that even if you have tsar shaloi ben makim nezek, that you're going to be chayav to pay for shimon tsar. With the maisa, the pasuk states kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas patza, chabura tachas chabura. And since the Torah states loshim petza tachas patza between the klal of kviya tachas kviya and the prat of chabura tachas chabura, therefore it's called a klal prat hamuchakin zemizeh. That will gufa be the machlekes between Rebbe and Ben Azai if we look at this as a standard klal prat, and therefore in bechlal mashur prat, or we don't dash in such a klal prat, and therefore we look at the klal as a separate din. And since included in the words of kviya tachas kviya includes a case where Reuven caused tzar to Shimon and he didn't cause any hezek and he didn't cause any diminution of value, therefore our Mishnah would be correct that you'd be able to be mechayev Reuven for tzar shaloi b'makim nezek. And as the Gemara states, and we continue on that pay him and alf, the hacha b'chlal prat mechokin zem mezekim mefli, and the basis of the machlokes is between Rebbe and Ben Azai is if we dash in a klal prat when they're not right next to each other. And in this case, you have the words petza tachas patza between the words kviya tachas kviya, which is the klal, and chabura tachas chabura, which is a prat. And Rebbe Sava ain't done the isa b'klal prat. Rebbe says that the din of klal prat doesn't apply. Therefore, we look at the words kviya tachas kviya as an independent statement, and the Torah is telling us that you would even pay tzar, even shaloi b'mokim nezek, and therefore our mishnah is going with you, Rebbe. Ben Azai Sava done isa b'klal prat, and Ben Azai holds that even though the words petza tachas patza comes in between kviya tachas kviya and chabura tachas chabura, we still look at it as a klal prat, and therefore in b'chlal elu mashu prat. And that's why Ben Azai holds that the only time that Reuven is chayiv to pay for tzar is only b'makim nezek, but if there was no actual diminution of value, for example, Reuven burnt the fingernail of Shimon, then there would not be a chayiv for Reuven to pay for the tzar that Shimon incurred. And the Gemara continues, v'chitem chabur l'Rebbe lamli, that bishleim according to Ben Azai, we needed the Torah to tell us chabur tachas chabura, as that causes us to have a klal prat and in b'chlal elu mashu prat. But according to Rebbe, that kviya tachas kviya already teaches us that a person's chayiv to pay tzar, even shaloi b'makim nezek, then why would the Torah have to say the words chabura tachas chabura? Certainly, if you're chayiv for tzar shaloi b'makim nezek, then certainly you're chayiv for tzar b'makim nezek, and there was no chiddush in the words chabura tachas chabura. And the Gemara answers that lefi Rebbe, the words chabura tachas chabura is coming to teach you l'dami miserim. As Rashi explains, that if the Torah would only say kviya tachas kviya, then we would think that the Torah being mechayiv Reuven to pay for tzar doesn't make a difference if it's a case with tzar shaloi b'makim nezek, and even in a case with tzar b'makim nezek, then Reuven would only be responsible to pay for Shimon Tsar and not pay for his Nezek. However, now the Torah states Chabura Tachas Chabura, the Torah is being Mechadish to us that where you cause a person Tsar and there was also Hezek, not only does the Mazik have to pay for the Nizek Tsar, but he also has to pay for his actual diminution of value, and he also has to pay for Nezek. Ayin in Taisa Dilo Maschal Adomim Miserim, where he's bothered on Rashi's explanation of our Gemara, and Taisa asks a couple of questions, and the second question Taisa asks is Ba'oid, the Lama Hoyulan Loima Shatza Yiftas and Nezek. Why would it be a Havmina that if Reuven has to pay for Shimon Tsar, that he would somehow be Potter for paying for his Nezek or Ripoy? As L'chari, it doesn't seem to be any Havmina and any Svara to be able to say that because Reuven has to pay for Shimon Tsar, therefore he should be Potter for Shevis and Ripoy. And Ayin Taisus, how he learns our Gemara, and Ayin and Mepharshim, who discuss Pshat and Rashi. And the Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah, where the Mishnah now defines how to calculate the amount that Reuven would owe Shimon for causing him Tsar. And our Mishnah stated, and it's important to focus on the words of the Mishnah of Reitzelital, as it's mashma that Shimon is going to be the one that's going to take money in order to be mitzar in this way. And the Gemara is, in a case where Reuven cuts off the hand of Shimon, and therefore Reuven has to pay for the nezek that Shimon incurred, which means that Reuven is really paying for Shimon's arm. And if so, the Gemara is, and Rashi points out how that since Reuven paid Shimon for his arm, therefore he has a right to cut off Shimon's arm. Why should Reuven now have to pay for the tzar that Shimon incurred? And the Gemara continues, so the father Shmuel stated that we would evaluate how much a person would want to take in order to have his hand amputated. And the Gemara asked, in a case where we're asking Shimon how much money he would take in order to have his hand amputated. And certainly Shimon is not only taking into account the tzadet he will have, but he's also taking into account all the other elements of cutting off his arm. And our question is, how do we evaluate the tzad by itself? Are we talking about a person that Shoshoita would put any price on the value of his hand and would actually agree to have someone cut off their hand for any amount of money, as of course that would not be something that's normal to do. The Gemara continues and answers that the way that we evaluate a person's tzar by appraising how much a person would agree to have a non-functioning hand be cut off and be amputated. And for example, if his hand was hanging onto his body by tendons which were already smashed, and as Rashi says, and therefore and this hand was already not royal malacha, and therefore you don't have to take into account Shevis or Ripoy, and the only thing that we will take into account is its tsar. The Gemara continues and asks, that although it's true that you don't have tsar, Ripoy, or Shevis, but you still have tsar and boishes, and it's not only evaluating the tsar. The Gemara explains, what is the boishes, the ksivale milsa, the mishkum besari, the mishtai leklavim, that it's embarrassing for a person to have his arm cut off in order to be thrown to dogs, as of course this is a bazillion. Therefore, this can't be a method of evaluating tsar by itself and pure tsar, as in this case, there will be boishes as well. The Gemara therefore explains, in order to evaluate how much this person's pure tsar was, the following is the proper way and the proper method of appraisal, that we evaluate if a person was anyway going to lose their arm, as the king already decreed that they're going to cut off his arm or his hand, and how much money would he take in order that he would have his arm cut off using a sword instead of using an anesthetic, instead of using some sort of a poison that would kill his arm. Whatever value he would pay in order to have this pain, that is the amount of money that Ru would be chayav to pay Shimon for his pain. And the Gemara states, Amri, hachinami lo shakal mitzar nafshi. Certainly a person would not agree to get any amount of money in order to have this major tsar of having the arm cut off without an anesthetic, and therefore it can't be that this is the way that we evaluate the amount of money that Reuven's chayav to pay Shimon. And finally the Gemara says exactly the opposite, Elohimdin, that we actually evaluate kama adam reitz litain, that how much would a person actually pay in order to have his hand that the melech already decreed that it had to be cut off and amputated. Currently, they were going to cut off his arm using a knife and not using anesthetic. How much would Shimon pay that in order to change the method of cutting off his arm, able to have them cut off his arm using an anesthetic or using some sort of a sam? And certainly, there is an amount of money that Shimon would pay in order to save himself from this pain, and that is the amount of money that Reuven would have to pay Shimon for his pain. And the Gemara feels that this is the Eitzah, however, the Gemara is still bothered by the Lashon and Mishnah. And as we mentioned, when we referenced the Mishnah at the beginning of the Sugya, as the Mishnah stated, and as the Gemara now is, based on the method that we just mentioned, it's not a case where Shimon will actually take money in order to have more tsar, but it's a case where Shimon will actually give money in order to have less tsar. Therefore, the proper Lashon and Mishnah should have been, and really the Gemara should have even asked that the Lashon HaMishnah should have been, we have to evaluate how much of Adam Kiyetze B'zeh Reitze Liten Shaloi Lias Mitztar Kach. Gemara answers, Amr Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Litel Zeh Mizeh, Mashin Asin Zeh. What the Mishnah means to say when it uses Lashon Litel, it means that now that we know and we evaluate and we appraise how much Shimon would pay in order that he should be able to have his hand cut off using his sam instead of a knife, whatever that amount comes out, then the din would be that Reuven would have to give that money to Shimon, and therefore Shimon is now taking that money from Reuven, who was mazikim. That is the way to evaluate and appraise the pure amount of tsar that Reuven should have to pay for Shimon's tsar. And as Rashi states, kam adam reitzulitin l'shliach hamelach al yodoy hamuchdavus l'machlus l'katoya b'sayef yiktena shliach b'sam, and instead of cutting off with his knife or a sword, he'll cut it off using a sam or using anesthetic, and litol min hamazik mashin nasno zel hamelach, and then ultimately the Nizik will receive from the Mazik that amount of money for the tsar that he incurred. The Gemara now continues and quotes from Mishnah, and the Mishnah spoke about Ripoy, and the Mishnah stated he ko chayav l'repaisai, that if Reuven hits Shimon and damages Shimon, he has to pay for Shimon's doctor bills. And our Mishnah continued, alu bait smachim, the Nizik now had sores that came, and it was not even in the place where the Maka was, but around that area. And the Mishnah stated, in machmas hamaka chayav, if it actually came because of the original Maka, then of course the Mazik will be chayiv, but if it didn't come because of the Maka, then the Mazik would not not be obligated to pay to heal those sores or that infection. And the Mishnah continued, Chayseh v'nistra, if the wound healed and then it got worse, and then once again the wound healed and then once again it got worse, then the mazik is still obligated to pay for Shimon's doctor bills. However, if it got healed completely and then a wound returned, then there was no longer an obligation for the mazik to pay for the doctor bills and to pay for Shimon's care. Our Gemara begins and brings a brisa. If sores come because of the original wound, as we mentioned on Mishnah, v'nistra maka, or the wound got better and then it came back, as we mentioned from the Mishnah, that Reuven still chayev to pay for Shimon's doctor bills. Similarly, the Gemara is v'chayev litolay d'mei shiftai, that Reuven's also obligated to pay Shimon for the loss of work that he actually had based on the fact that the wound came back and now once again he was incapacitated and he couldn't even be a shayma kishuyim. The Brisa continues, shaloi machas maka. However, if the sores came and it wasn't because of the original wound, then in chayev l'arpeisav, in chayev litolay d'mei shiftai, then Reuven is not chayev to pay for healing him, and he's not chayev to pay disability, and he's not chayev to pay for the fact that Shimon is now unemployed. The Brisa now continues and brings two other shitas. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda states, af machmas hamaka, even if the sores developed because of the original maka, that although chayev l'arpeisav, that certainly Reuven still chayev to pay for Shimon's doctor bills. However, in chayev litolay d'mei shiftai, there's no obligation to him to pay for his unemployment and for his disability. And the chum argue on Rabbi Huda and argue on Tanakama, and they hold shifter for Osai, since the pasuk states rak shifter yita in v'rapi rapi, and therefore there's a smichas between sheves and ripoi. Therefore, we learn out kol shechay b'sheves chay b'ripoi. Anyone that you're obligated to pay for sheves, then you're chay to pay for his refuah and for his doctor bills. However, v'she'in chay b'sheves in chay b'ripoi. However, if you're not chay to pay for his sheves and for his unemployment, you're not going to be chay to pay for his refuah either, and you don't have to pay for his doctor bills either. As we will see, that since the chacham agreed to Rabbi Huda, that even in the case where the source came because of the original maka, you're still not going to be chayav to pay d'mei shiftai. Therefore, the chacham argue on Rabbi Huda and argue on Tanna Kamma, and they say that not only will you not be chayav to pay for shiftai, but you also not be chayav to pay for his doctor bills, even though this sore was directly caused by the original maka. And of course, as Rashi states, where Rabbanon Kamoi and Tanna Kamma holds mechayav lel tabayu, if Reuven damaged Shimon and then it was over by tzmachem machsma maka, not only will Reuven be chayav to pay for the refuah of Shimon, but he'll also have to pay for his unemployment and for his disability, and he'll have to pay for Shevis as well. The Gemara continues, but Micah Mifli, what is the basis of the machlekes between Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbanon? And Rabbi stated, Eshkechtinu Rabbanon Be'Rav, I found the Rabbanon in the Yeshiva Rav, the Yasv B'Kamri, that they were sitting and they stated, Hocha B'Maka Nitnu La'agad Kamifli, the machlekes is, when a person receives a maka and a nizik wrap his wound with a bandage, although that is beneficial to him because it will prevent pain, ultimately, since the wound is not exposed to fresh air, therefore, the wound could develop sores and it potentially could become infected. And as Rashi says, Nitnu La'egad, Nitnu Rishus L'Nechba, La'igdo La'otfa, Mepte Tzaratzino, Va'ilun Atzmachim Machmas Hevel V'chayim Agad, that although it will be more comfortable for him and he won't be in Tzar, as it will protect him from the cool air that blows on his wound, however, ultimately, that could cause infection and that could cause Tzar by the fact that the wound is not exposed to fresh air and it's actually very hot and therefore it'll cause infection. As the Gemara explains, Rabbanon Savri Makad Nitnu La'egad, the Tanna Kamma hold that the Nizik had a right to wrap his wound, and therefore the mazik is responsible for any damage and any further sores that occur to this wound, and therefore the Tanna Kamma holds that the mazik is chayiv not only for ripoy but for shevis as well. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds makal nitnu la'egad. Really, someone that is damaged should not go and wrap his wound with a bandage, and that will cause him further sores. Really, by going and wrapping your wound, then you cause your own sores, and therefore really the mazik should not be chayiv. However, ribu the Tana Bekra Mechayiv, that since the Torah says v'rapi rapai, and it actually says a double lashon or refuah, therefore the Torah is being mechadish to us that the mazik still going to be chayiv to pay for ripoi, even in a case where he wrapped his wound, and shevis loy Tana Bekra. However, when the gay shevis, where the Torah did not double over the lashon shevis, loy mechayiv, therefore Rabbi Yehuda says you're not chayiv to pay for shevis, as the mazik was the one who actually caused this wound to develop further and to have sores and infection. And at this point, the Gemara doesn't explain what the Rabbanon actually would hold, and why the Rabbanon achilik on the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now continues and tells us that when Rabba found Rabbanon bebe Rav and they told him this pshat, v'amin lu ano, and I respond to them, imak leinit la'egad, ripu nami le'mechayiv, that if a person is not allowed to wrap his wound with a bandage, then it's impossible that Torah would be mechayiv him to pay for his doctor bills, as certainly he was pesheya, and therefore how could it be that the mazik would be chayiv? Elon, therefore I explained, the kuli alma makin la'egad, v'lein Midla Eged Yisera, certainly everyone agrees that when a person has a wound, he's allowed to wrap his wound with a bandage. However, you're not allowed to wrap your wound too tightly with the bandage. That since a person shouldn't really wrap his wound with a bandage that tightly, that since the Torah says, therefore the Torah is still mechayiv the mazik to pay for this ripoy, even though the nizik did cause some of this damage. However, shavas, like tana beikra, like mechayiv, but the gay shavas, where the Torah did not say a double lashon, therefore the mazik would not be obligated to pay for the shavas of the nizik. However, rabbanon sabri, rabbanon meaning the tanakama of the brises holds, kivin tana beikra, be ripoy, since the Torah said a double lashon, but the gay ripoy, a shavas dam mechayiv, you're also going to be chayiv on shavas, the iskus ripoy, because ultimately there's a hekesh between shavas and ripoy, and as the pasuk states, rak shifta yita in virapa yurape. Therefore, since you're already chayiv and ripoy, therefore you're also going to be chayiv for shavas. However, Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Rabbi Yehuda hold that shavas loy mechayiv, that you're not going to be mechayiv for shavas. The main tarachmana rak, as since the pasuk says, rak shifta yita in virapa yurape. Therefore, the Torah is specifically telling us that although there may be a case where you're chayiv for ripoy, but even so, you're not going to be chayiv to pay for shavas. The Gemara continues, Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan do with the lashon rak? And the Gemara explains, rak l'shloy machem samaku dasa, that rak is coming to teach you that let's say the doctor told Shimon to be careful and to take certain medications, and Shimon did not listen to the doctor, and therefore his wound got worse, and his wound got infected further. Then the pasuk teaches us rak shifta yitein v'rapi rapi. In that case, Ruvi would no longer have to pay for the shevis of Shimon, since Shimon did not listen to the doctor and did not follow the doctor's instructions and the doctor's orders. The Gemara continues, Rabbanan Basroi, and according to the Rabbanan that was brought at the end of the Braisa that argued on Tanakama and Rabbi Huda, and the Amri, they said that they hold that anytime you chayiv b'shevus, then you chayiv ripoy, and anytime you're not chayiv b'shevus, you're not chayiv ripoy. So ripoy the tana beikra lomeli. So why would the Torah state v'rapi rapi? The Torah is not teaching you a specific chiddush b'negei refuah. And the Gemara answers b'boyle the chetana beir b'shmal that in the chenami according to Rabbanan Basroi, they need the words v'rapi rapi to teach us the din that is taught in the yeshiva b'shmal. The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, the beir b'shmal oimer. Then the yeshiva b'shmal they stated that since the pasuk says rapi rapi mekan shenitu reshus l'rafi l'rapis, that the pasuk is teaching you that a doctor has reshus to go and heal someone, and you don't say that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on this person a specific disease or a specific problem, maybe you don't have a right to go and heal him, and therefore the Torah tells us that a doctor does have a right to go and heal the patient. As Rashi says, and you don't say the Torah caused him pain and the Torah caused him this disease, and now the doctor is going and healing it, and who gives him the right to go and heal it? I ain't tasted you a why do we need the double lashon of rapi rapi? Just say one time rapi. That maybe we would think that the only time they have a right to go and heal someone is only when a person receives a makkah from a person. However, if someone gets sick and that comes from Shemayim, then when a doctor heals the person, then it looks like you're being seisad. And therefore, the pasuk says "rapi rapi" to teach us that even in that case, it's mutter for a doctor to help someone and to heal someone. And the Gemara continues. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned that how do we know that if someone develops a sore based on the makkah, or that the makkah gets better and then it gets worse, the mazik still has a responsibility to pay for his doctor bills, and he's also chayiv to pay for any loss of work and for the fact that he's out of work and he can't even be a shayim kashim. Therefore, the pasuk tells us shifta yitein v'rapi yirapi, and since it uses lashon of rapi yirapi and it's a double lashon, so it teaches us even in this case you chayiv to pay for his refuah, and we also have a hekesh between shevis and ripoy, and therefore you chayiv for shevis as well. And yochal afil shloim machas makah, and you would think that even if you develop a sore that was not machas makah, you would still be chayiv to pay for shevis and for ripoy. Tamalim rak. Therefore, the Torah says rak in order to tell us they not chayiv to pay for shevis or for ripoy. And of course, this is exactly the shita that we had from the Tanakhama in the previous Braisa, and Rabbi Yisrael Behuda Imer, and Rabbi Yisrael Behuda continues and states, Af machos makah pata, that even if you develop a sore based on the makah, the mazik would still be pata, kamash bulan rak, that the pasuk tells us rak shifta yita in virapi yirapi. And the Gemara now has two different ways to understand the shita of Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. Ikka da amri, some explain, Af machos makah pata lagamri krabbanim basroi. When Rabbi Yisrael Behuda stated, Af machos makah pata, he means to say that it could be pata lagamri, and you're going to be potter from Shevis as well as from Ripoy, and that's exactly like the Rabbanan Basroi. And the Ikad Amri and others explain that when Rabbi Yehuda stated Af Machos Makah Potter, he means to say Af even if the sore developed because of the makor, although the mazik will be potter from sheves, but will still be chayiv for ripoy man kavua. And this sheet will be going exactly like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's father, Rabbi Yehuda, was the second sheet that we had in the previous brisa. And the Gemara continues, we just stated, and one may have thought that even if someone developed sores and wasn't machmas hamako, that the mazik would still be chayiv to pay for sheves and for ripoy. The pasuk states, rak shifta yitin v'rapa yirapa, and of course, rak is a miut. And the Gemara is, shalom machmas hamako b'yikra, why would we need a pasuk to teach us that if you develop a sore and it's not machmas hamako, that the mazik is not going to be chayiv? Certainly, if it didn't come because of the mako, so why would the mazik be chayiv, and what would be havmina that they would be chayiv? And the Gemara answers, Ami, my shalom machmas hamako, when the Braisa stated was not machmas hamako, it's kiditanya, harisha aval divri reve, that Reuven damaged Shimon, and then Shimon went to a doctor, and the doctor gave him specific instructions. The doctor told him not to eat honey or anything which is sweet. V'ochol dvash oikol mina mesika. And Shimon disregarded the advice of the doctor, and he ate honey or other things which are sweet. Of course, that was not good for the healing process, as the Gemara states, "Mepnei dvash v'chol mina mesika kashul maka." And as we know, that honey and other sweet things are not good for a wound. V'helam makasya gargusni, and then the maka developed gargusni, which the Gemara will define in a moment. Yochli hechayv la'paisa. You would think that Reuven would still be chayiv to heal him and to pay for that as well. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Rak shifta yitin v'rapi rapi." Although ultimately this developed based on the original makor and the original wound, however, it really came based on the fact that Shimon ignored the advice of the doctors, and therefore Reuven will not be chayiv. And I even taste the maskal of al divrei reife, where Taisus is still bothered that why would he need a limud if the nizik was pesheya? And Taisus says, "Lechosh lepesheya kol kach," that by going and disregarding the orders of the doctor, we don't consider that Shimon was complete pesheya, and therefore we would still have a habmina that Reuven is chayiv to pay for healing Shimon's wounds and for healing the gargusni. It's only because the pasuk says rak that we mayit this case, and we say that Reuven is not chayiv to pay for the doctors for the gargusni. And the Gemara continues, "My gargusni, what is gargusni?" And Amar Abaya, Abaya explains, "Narsa krichta," as Rashi says, "basam meis," that's referring to dead flesh. And the Gemara asks, "My asuse," so how do you cure dead flesh? And the Gemara answers, "All of the cure of a kalba, you take aloe as well as wax and some sort of a tree sap that's used for wine barrels. You use this as an ointment to rub onto this maka." And the Gemara continues, "V'yomalei asichana," that if the mazik tells the nizik that I won't hire a doctor, and instead I will personally heal you, v'yomalei, the nizik could respond to the mazik, "The misa lai ka'aria avya," that you are similar to me, like a lion waiting in ambush, and you were the one who wounded me, and I can't trust that you're going to come and heal me. And this is similar to the idea of inkatega nasa sanega. And the Gemara continues, "V'yomalei maisina asya demogain," that if Reuven says to Shimon that even though I was mazik you and I'm chayiv to pay for your refuah, but I have a relative that is a doctor and I will bring him here and he will heal you as he won't charge me any money, and therefore I don't want to pay you for your doctor expenses and I want you to use my relative who's a doctor, a Malay. So Shimon could say to Reuven, "Asi the mogin b'mogin, mogin shava," that if there's a doctor that will do his duties for free, that he is worthless and I have a right to go and hire the doctor of my choice. And Gemara continues, "V'yomma maisin lacha asi rechika," and if Reuven says to Shimon, "I want to bring a doctor from a faraway place and he will heal you, it will be cheaper for me to hire this doctor, a Malay," and the Nizik could say to the Mazik, "Asi rechika in avira," that if I will use a doctor that's from further away and not a local doctor, then his cure won't be so good and potentially there will be future side effects and potentially I will be blinded. And Rashi explains, "In avira she'asa leilach l'dakoy," because this doctor will go back home, "ve'in choshesh im iver eino shelzeh," and since he doesn't have any reputational risk, therefore he won't be concerned if ultimately the side effect will be that this person will be blinded. And up until this point, the Gemara was speaking about the tainus that the mazik could try to have to the nizik as far as healing the nizik. And the Gemara now goes to the nizik's tainus to the mazik, "V'omalei heich," and if Shimon says to Reuven, "Havludi, give me the money that I would pay for a doctor, v'ano mesina afshoi, and I will heal myself, I won't necessarily go and get a doctor." And the Gemara tells us that omalei, that Reuven could tell Shimon, "Pashat benafshecha v'shekaltu minay tvei," that I don't agree that you should just take the money and I shouldn't get you an actual doctor, because if you take the money and you don't go to a doctor, then potentially your wound will get worse. And then you'll come back to me and you'll say that I even owe you more money. And as Taisa says, this is talking about a case, Hechad Le'amdu, where they didn't already evaluate how much money he needs to pay to the doctor. And the Gemara continues, "Omalei, Koitzli Mekatz," if Shimon says to Reuven that I understand you don't want to take any risk, therefore let's evaluate how much money you would have to pay to a doctor. doctor, and you will pay me that amount of money, and I will indemnify you that you don't have to pay any more money than the amount that we already agreed upon. And Amalei, and even so, the Mazik could say to Nizik, Kolshke de Peshat ben Afshecha v'karli shar Mazik, that certainly in this case, I have to be concerned that maybe something will occur and you won't be healed. And then people will say that I caused that this person was so sick that they weren't able to be healed, and they won't realize that you really didn't take care of yourself and you really didn't go to a doctor. And as Rashi says, Kolshkin Doli Nichli Behochi, the Peshat ben Afshecha Gnai Godoluli, the Karuli Shar Mazik. The Gemara continues, Tana, we learned, Vikul Mishtalm Mamakam Nezek. As we know, when a person damages another person, aside from Nezek, they pay Tsar Ripui Shev Semboishes. And the Gemara teaches us that even when they have the Chiyuv to pay Nezek, they would still pay Tsar Ripui Shev Semboishes together with the Chiyuv to pay Nezek. And the Gemara asks me, Nani Mili, what is the Makar for these dinim, Benigay Tsar Ripui Shev Semboishes? And Amar Zud Mishmed Rava, as Amakra, Petza Tachas Patza, Lit in Tsar Bamakam Nezek. Since we have this extra Pasuk of Petza Tachas Patza, it teaches us that even in a case where Reuven damaged Shimon, and therefore he has to pay Nezek, he still has to pay Tsar, even though he's also paying for Nezek. And I in Taisus on the Chavorim Beis Dibur Maskel Hai, where Taisus says that once we know that you pay for Tsar B'makom Nezek, then the same would apply for Ripui Shevus and Boishes. And the Gemara continues and asks, how can you learn this din from Petza Tachas Patza of Haim Boile L'Rabbi Shein Kamezev or Inis Karatzin, if we already learned on the Chavorim Beis that we need this pasuk to teach you that an Adam that is Mazik someone is Chayiv on a Shoyge, just like he's Chayiv when he's amazed, and he's Chayiv on Inis Karatzin as Adam Ur La'ilam? And the Gemara answers that in Chanami we need this pasuk to teach us the din of Adam Ur La'ilam, but im kein nichtuv kra petza bepatza. If we wanted to only teach that din, then the Torah could have just said petza bepatza, my petza tachas patza shmamino tati. By the fact that it says loshin tachas, therefore shmamino tati, we learn both of these dinim. Number one, we learn l'rabbi shei kamezev oynis karatzin, and number two, we learn that yichayev ansar b'makim nezek. The Gemara continues, rapapa mishmedu rava, my rapapa the name rava states on across the pasuk says v'rapa yirape. Since the Torah uses the double loshin of rapi yirape, therefore we learn out that you have to pay for revuah even b'makim nezek. Once again, the Gemara asks, haimi b'ayli l'chitan dvei Rabbi Shmuel l'chayr, we need the limit of rapi yirape for the din that we learned in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, the Tan dvei Rabbi Shmuel v'rapi yirape mekan shenitin rishus l'reifi l'rapis, and we learn that a doctor has a right to heal a person. And the Gemara answers, im kein nichtav krav v'reifi yirape. If so, then the pasuk should just say that a doctor can heal. By the fact that the pasuk says v'rapi yirape shmamino litin refuah b'makim nezek, therefore we also learned it in that the nezek is even chayiv to pay for his doctor bills and for his expenses, even when he already paid for his hezek. And the Gemara continues in is v'akatim b'yilei l'chamarin l'chayr. We still need the pasuk of v'rapi yirape to teach us another din l'misne be'kra b'ripui, that the Torah had to say a double lashon of ripui in order to teach us that if Shimon developed sores based on the fact that he had this wound, that Reuven is still going to be chayiv to pay for his doctor, even for the sores. And the Gemara answers, im kein le'makra oy rapi rapi oy yirapi yirapi. The Torah should use the same lashon and just have a double lashon of refuah, my v'rapi rapi. Why did the Torah have a double lashon and also change the lashon shmamino litin refuah b'makom nezek? Therefore, we learn out three dinim from this pasuk. Number one, that's nitna rishus l'reifi l'rapis. Number two, if the nizik develops a sore based on the original makor, the mazik is still chayiv to pay for his doctor bills. Number three, that the mazik is chayiv to pay for his refuah, even though he already paid for his nezek. And just like we said, when we saw the member of his vidin neighbor Rava that learned the din of tzav b'makom nezek, and we said that once we know tzav b'makom nezek, and we also apply this din to ripui shevus and boishes, and the same applies to the gate limud of Rapapa in the name of Rava, that he learned the din of refuah b'makom nezek, and therefore once we know that the mazik has to pay for refuah even b'makom nezek, then the same would apply for tzav shevus and boishes. The Gemara continues and points out mechlal mishkach slush lo b'makom nezek, that by the fact that we need a limud to teach you that there is a chiyuv for tzav b'makom nezek, so it's mashma that the standard case would be tzav shelo b'makom nezek, and therefore it's mashma that b'negei tzav ripui shevus and boishes, it's possible to have these cases even in a scenario where Reuven did not cause any diminution in value in Shimon. The Gemara therefore is shelo b'makom nezek heichem mishkach slu. What would be the cases that you could have tzav ripui shevus and boishes and there was no hezek at all? And the Gemara explains tzav kedektani. Tzav is based on a mishnah that stated tzav kevoy b'shbud oy b'masmer v'afil al tzeparna mokem she'in in zechabura. Reuven burns Shimon with a spit. Reuven hits Shimon with a nail, and even if he hits him on his nail in a place where it doesn't create a chabura, doesn't diminish the value of Shimon, and even so, Reuven is chayiv to pay for the tzar of Shimon. And the Gemara continues, ripui, where do we have a case of someone having to heal someone without having damage damaged him or causing him any tsar or boishes. The Gemara explained the Havikov Lemidi Visolik Vaisli Samacharifa. Shimon already had something that was bothering him and it was already healing, and then Reuven brought him a type of ointment, the Achvre Labisra, and it caused Shimon's skin to become discolored. And Rashi says, Hafchul Mar Tsaras, that his skin turned to the color of Tsaras. In this case, Reuven didn't actually damage Shimon because Shimon already was wounded. In this case, Reuven would still have to pay for the medical expenses of Shimon in order to heal him and in order to bring his flesh back to its normal color. And as the Gemara said, the Tzarech Lois Filei Samalan Kutei Gavna de Bisrei, Reuven would have to bring him the proper ointments and the proper potion in order to make sure that he returns the color of his flesh to its normal color. The Gemara continues, Sheves, where do we have a case where Reuven caused that Shimon can't go to work? Reuven didn't damage Shimon himself. And the Gemara explains, the Hatke Ben Draino Ubatle, that Reuven locked Shimon into a room and he caused Shimon to miss work. Therefore, in that case, Reuven will be chayiv to pay Sheves to Shimon, even though he didn't physically damage Shimon and he didn't cause any diminution of value in Shimon. Finally, the Gemara speaks about Baishas, that where do you find a case where Reuven embarrassed Shimon and he didn't cause him any hezek? And the Gemara says, the Rakle Ba'ape, in a case where Reuven spits in Shimon's face, and certainly Shimon has embarrassment, even though, of course, Shimon wasn't damaged and there was no loss of value to Shimon either. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Sheves, we know that when Reuven damages Shimon, then Shimon will receive the value of Sheves and the value of the loss of work, which we would refer to work as compensation or to some sort of unemployment. And the Mishnah explains, Rein Oisei Kilu Shema Kishuyin Shekvan Nasle to be Yadu to be Ragli, that since we already stated that Reuven is chayv to pay to Shimon the value of the Nezek, and when Reuven paid for Nezek, we Rein Oisei Kilu Evan Nimka Beshuk Vishaman Kam HaYofa Vakamu Yofa, and therefore this really took into account the fact that at this point Shimon can no longer do work that he used to be able to do, and L'chir, this was included in that original payment. And therefore the Mishnah explains that in order to evaluate how much Reuven has to pay Shimon for workers' compensation, we look at Shimon Basher Usham, and we say that right at this moment, if Shimon would be well, and even though Reuven amputated his arm, but Shimon could be a Shema Kishuyim, if he was well enough, he would be able to go to a field and guard the gourds and the melons in the field, and even though that would be menial labor, Shimon may only be paid minimum wage, but ultimately by the fact that Shimon is now laid up in bed and can't even be a Shema Kishuyim, he lost the value of that job as well. And therefore, the Mishnah explains that is what the evaluation is, B'negei Sheves, and Reuven would have to pay for that value as well, that Shimon ultimately lost while he's sick and while he couldn't get out of bed. And the Gemara continues and brings a brisa, Tanna Rabbanan, we learn, Sheves, Rein Oisei Kilu Shema Kishuyim, as we explained, V'im Taima, Lok Samidus Adin, and if you will tell me that it doesn't seem fair to the Nizek, and the Gemara explains, why is it not going to be fair to Nizek, D'chimitbach Hai Gavro, Lav Agra D'Shema Kishuyim, Moshakol, and as Tezis explains, Klema B'tchil Kishayabari, when Shimon was well, and at that point, he wouldn't have been a Shema Kishuyim, and therefore, how could you say they're only going to pay him based on the value of being a Shema Kishuyim, which is only a minimum wage job, Ella Dali Davla B'Shakol Agra, Lemaisa, originally, he could have drawn water from wells, and he could have received a higher salary and more money, Inami Azal B'Shliach V'Shakol Agra, or he could have been a Shliach for someone. Once again, he wouldn't have been paid minimum wage, and L'Chir, when taking into account for Sheves, only Kilu Shema Kishuyim, L'Chir, causing Shimon a loss of value. Rice explains, Midas Hadin Le Loksa, that in reality, Shimon is not losing any money, Shekvan Nosloi Dmei Yadav Dmei Ragloi, because L'Maisa, by paying him for his Hezek, that already took into account all the value of the original wages that he would have received. And as the Mishnah already stated, that B'Nezek Ketzad, Royin Oisikilu Eved Nimka Beshuk V'Shamen Kamo Yofa V'Kamo Yofa, and that took into account the entire calculation as to the amount of wages that he could have earned originally and the amount of wages that he could now earn if he would be well. The only thing that we're taking into account when dealing with Sheves and dealing with workers' compensation is only the amount of money that he's actually losing by being in bed and not being able to work at all. And of course, at this point in time, even if Shimon would be well, he would only be able to get a minimum wage job of being a Shema Kishuyim. And we learned the sugya according to Taisus. However, Ayin Rashi, Dibu Mascha, Loksa Midra Sedin, Klema, Le Shalom, Le Kotza, Achoy, the Hoki Mitbach Hagavra, Mechel Zesh, Shinikta Yodai, Le Agra, the Shema Kishuyim Shakel, El Davil Davla, the Shakel Agri Yisera, Venimsa, Shakoli Mechelyov, Ovid Azois. And Rashi is certainly learning the Gemara's question was regarding the future, and the Gemara felt that even when this person gets better, you would be able to earn more than a Shema Kishuyim, and he wouldn't only earn minimum wage, and therefore the Gemara asked that L'Chir, we're not taking that into account. L'Chir, it's very difficult to understand the Gemara's Hamina, the Gemara's Maskana, according to the way Rashi's learning the Sugya. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav, 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 says, Katas Yadai, if Reuben cut off the hand of Shimon, nicely Dmei Yadai, and certainly Reuben has to pay for the value of his hand, and he has to pay Nezek, Vishavis, and how does he pay for workers' compensation and for causing him a loss of work? Reyin Oisekilu Shayim Kishuyim. So we look at Shimon as if he would be a guard of cucumbers or melons or gourds. Now that Shimon is sick and laid up in bed, he can't even do that job, and therefore Reuben will be chayiv to pay him for workers' compensation based on minimum wage. Gemara continues, Shibes Ragloi, if afterwards Reuben goes and breaks Shimon's foot as well, so nicely Dmei Ragloi, at this point Shimon's value goes down once again, and therefore Reuben is chayiv to pay Shimon for the loss of his value. In addition, now that he cut off his leg, Reuben can't be a Shayim Kishuyim, as in order to be a Shayim Kishuyim, you have to be able to walk around the field and be able to go and guard the field, and therefore Vishavis, Reina Isekilu Shayim Sepesach, and therefore B'negei Shevis, you'll even pay him a lower wage. At this point, Shimon would only be able to be a guard for a doorway. And Rava continues, and Tais points out that this next case is not going back on the previous scenarios where Reuven already cut off the arm of Shimon, and he already cut off the leg of Shimon. Rava is discussing a brand new case of Simas Enoi, where Reuven blinded Shimon, and Reuven never cut off Reuven's arm or leg. Lemaisa, since Shimon is blind, therefore it's impossible for Shimon to be a Shema Kishuyin, and it's also impossible for Shimon to be a Shema Sapesach, and therefore Rav explains, we have to evaluate Shimon based on the fact that he doesn't have an eye, and therefore we evaluate how much he would be able to receive as an Eved that has his sight, and now that he doesn't have sight, how much someone would pay for him as an Eved. And as Rav continues, the Shevis, and regarding the payment for his workers' compensation, even though he's blind, he still has his legs, and therefore he could still go and grind on a millstone. And therefore, if Shimon would not be wounded and would not be confined to bed, he would be able to do the minimum wage grinding wheat. And now that Reuven caused him to be in bed and not be able to grind wheat, so therefore Reuven caused him this damage of Shevis, and therefore Reuven has to pay him that value as well. Rava continues with the fourth case, Chershoi, that if Reuven damages Shimon by causing him to become deaf, either by hitting him next to his ear or blowing something into his ear, which was a very loud sound, and it caused him to go deaf. And at this point, Rashi says that he doesn't have any ability to do any malacha. Therefore, if you evaluate how much he'd be worth as an Eved in the Shuk, certainly no one would pay anything for an Eved that can't do any malacha. And therefore, you have to pay for the complete value of Shimon. Since even if Shimon would be well, he wouldn't be able to do work. Therefore, there's no chiyuv to pay Shevis, and there's no chiyuv to pay workers' compensation, as by the fact that he's now in bed does not cause Shimon any loss of money. Gemara continues, by Rava had the following shayla, that Reuven cut off the hand of Shimon, and Beis Din not yet establish any amount that Reuven is chayav to pay. And as Rashi says, prior to Reuven healing Shibes Ragloi, Reuven went and broke Shimon's foot as well, and then once again they did not evaluate him in Beis Din, and they did not paskin that Reuven is chayav to pay a certain amount for Tzar Ripui, Shevis, and Boishes. And then once again, prior to Shimon healing, Simas Eina Vleim Du, Reuven went and blinded Shimon, and Beis Din did not yet paskin as to how much Reuven is chayiv to pay to Shimon for Tzar Ripui, Shevis, and Boishes. And once again, prior to Shimon healing, V'lebsev Chersher, then once again, Reuven damaged Shimon and caused him to become a Chersh. Mao, what is the din? Mi Amirin, do we say, Kim Vleim Du, B'chad Umdun Asagile, that since they never evaluated him, they never paskin, therefore we only make one evaluation, and V'yovle Dmei Kule B'chad Adadi, and then Reuven would have to pay to Shimon the entire valuation at one time. Or Dilma, what do we say? Chod chodam dinan, that will emit each hezek by itself, and via vidalei, and then Reuven has to give that amount of money to Shimon, which of course will be a larger amount of money. And Rashi points out, ba'afagav de benezek le'nafkalon mine midi, that even though benegay the amount of money you'll have to pay nezek, there won't be any nafkamina. As Rashi states, save kol shor hochem pechsen's domav, because lemaisa every time that he has diminution of value, he add on to the amount that Reuven is chayav to pay Shimon until the point when he actually causes him to become deaf, and then he doesn't have any value left, and therefore, as we said before, nicely to make kuloi, but the maximum amount that Shimon would get paid is for his entire value, and there is no way that Shimon will either get more or less than that. And as Rashi says, hilkach bein oimet kula bein oimet kalecha b'fnei atzmai mi da achasi, there is one amount that he will get paid. The Gemara explains, nafkamina de boi lemesle tzar b'ish de chol chad v'chada, and the nafkamina would Reuven be chayav to pay to Shimon for the tzar of each time he heard him and for the boishes of each time that he heard him? Or do we say that you only evaluate him at the end, therefore Shimon would not pay for for the tzar and boishes of each time he was damaged. The Gemara explained that he, the nezek v'ripu v'shebes, the chol chadu v'chadu le'avin le, that's certainly been a gay nezek, as we explained before, that there is no question, there is no nafkamina, and similarly been a gay ripu v'shebes, then certainly he would not be paid for every single hezek, the kivin, the koyav le'id me'kule, since at the end result, at the time that he already caused him to become deaf, therefore he's chayav to pay for his entire value. Commander Kotli dummy, so at this point he's considered like he's a dead person, as he has no value and he has no ability to do any work, and therefore it's considered as if he's dead, and you already paid him for his entire value, and therefore certainly there's no responsibility to pay him for any sheves, because there is no work that he's losing out by being in bed and by being sick at this point. And as Rashi says, and therefore we look at it as if Reuven bought this person and he's considered as Eved, and Ayin Rashi bin Agei Ripoy, that Rashi says, that since Shimon did not get healed in between each time that he was injured, and therefore Reuven would not be responsible to pay for his doctor bills and to pay for Ripoy. And Ayin Taisis, who asks on Rashi, Tamar, the Bishle Menezek Vishavis, Din Shlo Yitain, Shekol Zeb Bechlau Deme Kuloi, and Taisis is, El Ripu Lama Pshitale, Sheyer Bechlau Deme Kuloi, Yoist Mitzar Boishes, the Lecher, why should Reuven be parted from paying Ripoy, and why is it different than Tzar Boishes? Certainly, even though this person is deaf, there's still responsibility to Reuven to go and help him out and to pay for the cost of healing his foot and healing his arm and also dealing with his eyesight. Because of this question, therefore, Taisis Geris in our Gemara, that Ripoy goes together with Tzar Boishes, and in the Chenami, Reuven would still be hired to pay for Shimon's Ripoy. As the Gemara continues, that Rav Shaila was Benegei Tzar Boishes, and as Taisis says, even Ripoy, that Tzar Boishes Mias, the Chol Chodav Chodayav, the Havalei Tzar Boishes, the Lemaisa Benegei Tzar Boishes, then the Shaila is, would you have to pay for each time that he was Mazakim? Because Lemaisa, every single time that Reuven damaged Shimon, Shimon had Tzar, and Shimon had Busha, and Lefi Taisis, Shimon also had doctor bills, and therefore Reuven should still have to pay for Tzar Boishes and Ripoy each injury that he caused to Shimon. Rava continues, since Shimon didn't take Reuven to Bezdin, and Bezdin did not yet paskin that Reuven is chayiv to pay Shimon Tzar Boishes, therefore when he ultimately comes to Bezdin, they would only paskin based on the last time that he comes to Bezdin, and they would only evaluate him at that point. Therefore Rava asks, I'm doing now, what would happen if Shimon actually took Reuven to Bezdin, and Bezdin already paskin that Reuven is chayiv to pay Shimon for Tzar Boishes and according to Taisis for his Ripoy as well? Lemaisa, Reuven did not yet pay Shimon. Mi Amrinan, do we say Kim Damdu Chada Chada Boy Lemaisle, that since ultimately they already evaluated him and they already paskin that he's chayiv to pay for the Tzar Boishes, therefore Reuven will be chayiv to pay for the Tzar Boishes of each time they damage Shimon? Or Dilma, what do we say Kim Leisholim, that since Lemaisa Reuven did not yet pay Yovle Dmekule, Reuven would only have to pay for the full value of Shimon now that Shimon is a cherish and therefore he has no value as an Eved, and at this point we would not be mechayev Reuven to have to pay for the Tzar Boishes and according to Taisus for Ripoy either. And the Gemara ends off Teku, that this Shaila is a Teku and Rav is not pushing the Shaila, and Lechir, if we think about this Gemara, it doesn't seem to make much sense that a person would not be chayev to pay for Ripoy and Tzar Boishes just because at this point Shimon is a cherish and therefore doesn't have value, and Reuven has to pay for his full value, as ultimately we still have to take into account that Shimon had Tzar and he had Boishes and he also had medical expenses, and that wasn't taken into account in the valuation. And it's very difficult to understand exactly what the Gemara's tzad is and exactly what the Gemara's question is. Ayin Taisus Dima Maskel Nihi De Nezek V'Ripoy V'Shebes the Chol Chod V'Chod Lo Yovle, where Taisus is bothered by these questions and Taisus has a Mahal Chadah Gemara Ayin Shum, and we will stop over here.